Welcome into the Chris Ramey Show on Scoops with DannyMac.com. It is the Tuesday, December 8th, 2020 edition of the program. Hope you're having a wonderful week, and we're going to talk a little Cardinals baseball. So we'll head to sunny San Diego in a moment to catch up with Tommy Edman, who will join us on today's show. Don't forget to subscribe to the Chris Ramey Show and Scoops with Danny Mac wherever you listen to your podcasts. Go to Scoops with Danny Mac, hit the subscribe button, leave us a review, and send me a screenshot. Tweet me at CHRABE. You can read us and watch everything and stay on top of everything going on at ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, including Bernie Miklas, who's in the mix now. Some exciting announcements over the past few days and the past week from Dan at ScoopsWithDannyMac.com as we continue to add incredible content. So head to the website. You can also email me, Chris, at ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. But without further ado, let's head out to California and say hello to Tommy Edman. And we're going to do this on video because Tommy is in just a very impressive, very well-manicured room with just memorabilia all over the place, expensive stuff everywhere. Really, really wanted to show it off a little bit. But, you know, as technology sometimes rears its ugly head, we had to postpone or delay the video aspect. But thank you for joining me anyway, man.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'm bummed people won't get to see my memorabilia room, but this will do just as well, I guess.
You know, I kid because I was the one who was going to show off a couple of knickknacks to Tommy, but you mentioned memorabilia. Are you a collector, whether it's stuff personally from your baseball career, stuff that is important to you and your family, or stuff from guys you played with or guys you were fans of growing up? Are you a collector at all?
Nothing too crazy. I'll hang on to important like baseball. So for example, I have my first hit, first homer, all those things, and the first jersey that I played a game in. And I probably do need to do a better job of getting signed items from people that I play against or play with, but I was actually able to get some signed stuff from some of my teammates this year and a couple of opponents that I really enjoyed watching play. But I definitely could do a much better job of that, and I know some people do make sure they get a ton of stuff from everybody that they play against.
Yeah, that's probably like once you've been in the big leagues for a while and you've kind of got the whole being in the big leagues part down, then maybe you start thinking about the memorabilia side of things.
Yeah, I would think so. I think especially rookie year, I was a little bit intimidated to ask, but this year I definitely made sure to get a few more things.
There's a good story, right, about your brother getting your home run ball in Minnesota?
Yeah, that's right. So he works in the analytics department for the Minnesota Twins. And even though there were no fans allowed at the games in Minnesota this year, he was still able to attend because he was on staff. I think he might have had foul ball duty or something like that, or maybe keeping track of the radar gun. But he was able to be at that game that I hit a homer. And one of the other members of the front office, I guess, was able to track the ball down and get the ball to my brother. So it was a pretty special moment.
So did you guys, like, I would have loved if he had held it ransom, like a random fan of the game catching a significant home run, and then you would have had to have like a family barter session for him to hand the ball over.
Yeah, no, I got plenty of balls, so plenty of home run balls, so I just let him hold on to this one.
So your brother is in the Twins front office on the analytics side. Do you ever, like, call him a nerd and tell him that grit is more important than numbers?
Yeah, he's definitely a numbers guy, and I have to make sure I remind him from time to time that there's a mental aspect to the game as well that can't really be quantified.
That's got to be cool though, man, like having your brother in baseball. And I know baseball obviously has been, can't even imagine how big a part of your family's life now, and that he's working in pro baseball and he's been dealing with a lot of the pressures of, you know, what's going on and a lot of the uncertainty over the last year or so. How much do you guys talk about baseball? Do you guys talk about the game, or do you stay away from that when you're together?
We'll talk about it a fair amount. I mean, he honestly has he's very, very into baseball and probably knows more about baseball than I do, honestly. He's just always diving into the stats. He's always coming up with these crazy numbers. So that definitely is one of the major topics that we discuss when we're together. But it's pretty cool being able to have a sibling who's so invested in the sport that I play and then in my profession, obviously, as well.
Yeah, my brother works in the White Sox front office, and talking to a lot of those guys, it's tough. And I know that you guys get asked questions just like any employee of any team does, but you guys get asked questions the most. How much of a relief was it last year to actually start playing? As you look back on it, even if it was not a typical season, Tommy, to stop being asked the question of when are you guys going to start playing baseball, or what's going to happen next? What's around the corner?
Yeah, I wouldn't even be able to tell you how many times I had people ask me, so what's the schedule looking like? Like, when are you guys going to be able to start playing again? So, yeah,
we don't get, like, text message daily updates.
Yeah. that was definitely a relief to finally get playing, so people didn't have to ask me when we're starting again. But it was good that we got the season, and obviously we would have liked to have played more games and fewer doubleheaders, but it was just a relief to be able to get the full season in last year without too much, without missing too many games, I guess.
Yeah, you probably need some new talking points this offseason, because last year, you know, the wedding postponement, you guys got a lot of mileage out of that one. There were like 89 stories written about that, Tommy.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have a much more boring offseason this year, especially given...
I saw that you were like climbing up the Rocky Mountains.
Yeah. My after season was over, my wife and I had a nice little road trip across the country back to San Diego, and we hit a few cool spots that we'd never been before. We got a lot of hiking in, which we hadn't really done a lot of in the past, so that was fun. We'd make sure we got some hiking boots, because my New Balance running shoes weren't going to cut it, but we made sure to get the shoes that could handle that kind of tread. And also we had to make sure we got plenty of cold gear, like really heavy jackets, because it ended up getting, one of the nights when we were in Denver, it got down to like, I think it was like 5 and snowing pretty hard. So we didn't, before that trip, we definitely didn't have the gear required, but we were able to track some down before we headed out.
So wait, give me the rundown of what you guys did. So you drove from St. Louis back to San Diego after the season?
Yeah, we did. We actually first went to Cancun for a week in October.
Nice.
And came back to St. Louis, got everything packed up and drove back, made stops in Denver. And we went up to Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and then Salt Lake City and then Arizona and like Scottsdale area. And then finally back to San Diego.
It's a pretty good trip. That's like a lot of outdoors work on your way back. That's getting your money's worth on your way back.
Yeah, it was. I mean, definitely we're making sure we're staying active with all the hiking we're getting, because it's a lot of time sitting in a car. So if we didn't get moving around, we'd been pretty stiff and not very mobile afterwards. So it was a good mix of making sure we're getting moving around around the time spent in the car.
Are you a good road trip companion? Are you cool with driving? Do you guys switch off? Who controls the music or the podcasts on the way? How is the give me your, we were talking about intangibles earlier. Give me your road trip chemistry, Greg.
we're a very compatible pair, I would say.
Well, I would hope so. I mean, I've met your lovely wife, and you guys are married, but yeah. For her having to deal with you for a couple of weeks driving, what are you like?
Yeah, that was our first long road trip together, and I would say we passed the test.
You didn't get divorced, all right.
Yeah, we're talking about signing up for Amazing Race once I'm retired, so.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I'm just kidding, but maybe, though, you never know. I think we did a good job. We switched off a fair amount. She definitely controlled the music and what was being played. But I would say it was split pretty even and didn't have any big arguments or discussions about which way was the fastest route, mainly because we didn't know which way, we'd never been on those roads before, but it ended up being, going by without too many hitches.
Yeah. Now with iPhones and stuff, gone are the days of, like, you know, in every movie in like the 80s and 90s, when they're on a road trip, like
the husband gets lost and like is too stubborn to pull over and ask for directions. So they always are hours and hours out of the way. I remember growing up, like when we'd go places, we'd print out the MapQuest directions, which is a way throwback. But yeah, there's not a lot of room for controversy with directions now with iPhones and Waze and whatever else.
Reminds me of a Dumb and Dumber when Lloyd drives halfway across the country the wrong way.
In a truck.
Yeah, yeah. And then he goes and trades it for the little moped.
that's a great movie. Yeah. And that would be a heck of a way to take a road trip. Tommy Edmonds with us hanging out as we talk a little bit of off season. So from a baseball standpoint, man, I know there still is a lot up in the air over the next couple of months, but how are you feeling right now? Does anything change for you in terms of the next couple of months in terms of getting ready? I'm sure your off season, you know, what you're doing from a fitness standpoint stays pretty consistent regardless of what's going on.
Yeah, we're definitely preparing as if we're going to have a full 162 game season that's starting on time. As of now, everything's on schedule. So it's just been a normal off season so far for me. I've been very fortunate that the places that I work out at haven't been shut down. I know some people are definitely going through that right now and working out, in kind of makeshift facilities, but I've been fortunate enough to continue at the same place I've been going to. So nothing has been, drastically different in relation to last off season. So pretty much just doing the same sort of stuff, been lifting, working out, and been hitting for a couple of weeks now, starting up my throwing program and, just preparing to be ready for spring training, just like in the past years.
How much of a toll did this year take mentally, Tommy, if you don't mind me asking? Because just, you know, all of us who are in some way connected to the business and you guys especially at the top, nobody knew what was going on, like you alluded to earlier. And then even once the season started, you guys had, you know, the long delay with positive tests. There was uncertainty about whether you guys would actually, you know, finish the season. You end up not only finishing the season, but playing great through the grind of the schedule, the doubleheaders, getting into the postseason. You get to do that in San Diego near home. But as you look back now, a couple of months removed, you know, it maybe wasn't the second year in the big leagues that you expected, but from a mental standpoint, can you explain what it was like to people and listeners who didn't experience it?
Yeah, I was definitely pretty mentally exhausted by the end of the year. Just that final stretch that we had, once we got back from our second outbreak, I think we played like 53 games, which included like 11 doubleheaders. So that definitely took a toll. But I think it helped with the group that we had. We just had such great veteran leadership. They were kind of pushing everybody along. Just be like, okay, we're taking it day by day. And we can't think too far ahead of ourselves. We almost treated it like just like a summer travel ball, back in high school schedule. You know, you're playing a ton of games. You go out to Arizona and play 100 doubleheaders in 120 degree heat, and we made it through that. So this wasn't too much different from that. And if we could take that same approach of just focusing on the game for that day or games for that day, then we were going to make it. But yeah, we ended up playing well and made it to playoffs. And I know a lot of people didn't have the years individually that they would have liked, but I think we came together when we needed it and almost took that series from the Padres. But it was definitely a much different year than I expected going into it.
You know, from a physical and mental standpoint, is there something to be said for maybe the way you guys did things last year, kind of showing up, you know, having a bunch of buses, showing up to the field, you know, maybe not 6 hours before the game? Are there any positives, anything you can learn, any benefits you think from last year that you guys or you personally can take moving forward?
I think so. I mean, this year compared to last year, like you were talking about, we would show up about 3 to 4 hours before the game, as opposed to like 6 hours before the game. So there's much less waiting around, but we were still able to get all the prep work in that we really needed. And
efficient with your time.
Yeah. I think it kind of helped consolidate our pregame work into figuring out what's really the most important things to be doing and what you can do at home on your own time. And some of that ended up being like recovery stuff, either in the mornings when you're not at the field or postgame back at the hotel or back at the place in St. Louis. So It kind of showed us that there's definitely certain things that need to be done at the field, and you got to make sure you're doing that. But there's also things that can be taken care of at home on your own time.
Ryan Kelly, the home loan expert, is one of the great sponsors of the program and Scoops with DannyMac.com. And right now is a perfect time to learn about a home loan refinance. You hear the word all the time, but maybe you don't even know what you're doing. Essentially, you're redoing your loan. So in terms of your first mortgage, you're retooling your loan. The home loan expert is paying off your current loan and giving you a brand new loan. You can decide the term, 30 years. You can go shorter. Give them a call. Look at your current mortgage and ask the home loan expert, Ryan Kelly, if they can do anything to improve your situation. It all depends on your goal, and they will work with you. But everyone with a mortgage loan can benefit from calling Ryan Kelly, the home loan expert, today for a free mortgage analysis. Go to thehomeloanexpert.com, thehomeloanexpert.com. Learn about not just the incredible loan offers that they have, but also the incredible customer service, their customer-first approach that separates them from anyone else you could get a mortgage through. Ryan Kelly is the home loan expert online at thehomeloanexpert.com. Schnucks Rewards, one more reason to love Schnucks. Get the app that gets you Schnucks Rewards. The Schnucks Rewards app allows you to earn points every time you shop for money off your next purchase. But there's so much more in the app to simplify shopping. For instance, you can get exclusive digital savings, including over 100 new digital coupons every week. The shopping list helps keep you organized, add items on the go, plus you can share it. Recipes in the app make meal planning easy. Search for recipes by ingredients and add them to your shopping list. Go to schnucks.com and check out more about the app that gets you Schnucks Rewards, the Schnucks Rewards app. Download it on the App Store or Google Play. The Schnucks Rewards app rewards you for shopping at Schnucks.
How much did last year and what you guys missed out on to some extent make you appreciate, Tommy, maybe the opportunities that you get to spend time with your teammates? I know that, you know, you guys missed out on the dinners and a lot of the bonding stuff, especially on the road, that you would get to have over the course of a season, or having your families, you know, with you down the stretch or in the postseason. Like, did that change your perspective and make you realize, you know, what a special group of guys you guys have?
Yeah, 100%. I think that was probably the most disappointing thing about the year, was just the lack of time that we're able to spend with our teammates. I mean, on the road, the road trips, like on the flights, we weren't allowed to sit near each other, no card games on the flight, no really conversing or anything. We weren't able to go out to team dinners, no hanging out together in the hotel. So it definitely took a lot of time away, that a lot of team bonding time. And yeah, the other aspect was the fact that families weren't allowed to go to the games either. So my wife was pretty bummed that she wasn't able to make it out to that the series in San Diego for playoffs. But hopefully that's all going to change for next year, assuming we get COVID under control.
Which one of your teammates saved the most money by there not being card games on the flights?
Well, I know Wieters was pretty disappointed, because he usually makes a lot of money on those flights. I think I want to say Miles can get pretty reckless. I'm not quite on the level of being able to join those card games yet, but maybe 5 or 6 years down the road, I'll have the bankroll to join that table, but who knows?
Who's the biggest competitor, whether it's a card game or whether it's a drill in spring training, or first guy to show up somewhere, first guy to, like, who's the biggest competitor for stuff that may seem insignificant?
My first person that came to mind was actually Wayno. I know he gets really, really competitive. So I've heard in like the PFP drills, he's extremely competitive in fantasy football. Actually, everybody is pretty competitive in fantasy football.
You're playing that with him, right?
Yeah. I made playoffs last week. I clinched it. This was the last week of regular season, so my week didn't matter as much. But I think
just giving your guys a rest this week.
Yeah. Getting the bad weeks out of the way before playoffs starts. So I think the top four seeds are going to be myself, Wieters, Flaherty, and Wayno. And then six teams make it. I think the five and six are still up in the air. But yeah, we definitely have a very competitive clubhouse in regards to fantasy football. And we actually were able to – another competitive aspect off the field was when we were all in our quarantine in our rooms in Milwaukee, we all there's probably 7 to 10 of us that downloaded a poker app on our phone, and we'd play a few games a night, and definitely some people took home more cash than others.
Who was the best?
I think Ollie Marmol was the biggest winner on those.
He's a sharp guy.
Yeah, he definitely plays a sound game. He's got good fundamentals.
Not like Miles, not pushing it all.
Yeah.
I'll ask you about Ueno. It's a perfect segue because today it was announced that he is the winner of the Roberto Clemente Award. I think anyone who's ever been around him for even a second, not to mention someone like you who's a teammate of his, knows what he does with his foundation, Big League Impact, with his wife, his family, his brother, and so many others. You obviously couldn't have been surprised, but for people who, don't see the extent to how much the charitable work means to him, how much he does, not just in St. Louis, but around the world, well, what can you say about Adam and about your reaction when you learned that he got the award today, Tommy?
Yeah, I mean, I was so excited for him. No one's more deserving of that award than he is. And like you were saying, you can just tell just from being around him, he just gives off that aura of showing that he cares about every single person around him, whether that's his teammates or even just strangers or random people on the street. And he shows that through his charity work, and he just has impacted so many lives through his career. And I think that's what's so special about him, is he realizes that his success on the field isn't going to be the thing that defines him and his legacy, but rather the impact that he makes off of it.
That dude's going to keep playing, right? Like there's no way he's not playing next year.
Yeah, I think I'd be surprised if he didn't.
I won't put you on the spot about anyone who's in limbo right now, but I will ask you, because I know obviously you're close with him. Does it sting? What does it feel like to see the organization part ways with someone like Colton, Tommy, when that happened? And I know it's an unusual set of circumstances because of the business aspect of the game and so much that's up in the air. But, I mean, I'll tell you, it caught me. I was shocked. And again, I know you can't necessarily say everything that you'd want to say, but just when something like that happens, I mean, it's obvious, I think, to everyone that the team immediately feels those ripple effects. Is that fair?
Yeah. I mean, I think we're all just as surprised as everybody else. And definitely are a better team when you got a player as good as Colton after just winning his second Gold Glove in a row. So we will miss him for sure. Assuming he doesn't come back, from what I've heard, there's still a chance that he comes back.
Sure.
So that's still definitely a possibility, but yeah, we'll miss him for sure if he goes to another team, and just hope that he doesn't crush us too much when we play against him.
Yeah. It's the part of the business that is brutal. And again, it is a business, and there is a lot that's different and that's changing because of a lot of the issues over the past 6-9 months, not just in baseball, but in all sports. And I guess similar to what I asked you about spending time with your teammates, does that change your appreciation at all, or your awareness of what's going on? How closely do you follow? And I guess there's not really anything right now to follow, but did you follow last year during the stoppage, anything going on, or is it just, like you said, blinders on, prepare as usual, and they'll tell me when and where I need to be, I'll get there?
Yeah, I mean, you try to do the best that you can to just focus on your individual game, but there's just so much information and so many media outlets out there that it's tough to be completely blind to it. You pretty much have to delete all your social media apps and all your news apps on your phone, I guess, in order to be completely unaware of it. But
I feel like that's been good advice just for life in general over the last few months.
Yeah,
in a lot of different aspects.
Not too much positivity on social media these days.
Brutal.
But yeah. Brutal. So I mean, we know we're obviously aware, and our guys who are involved in the MLBPA do a good job of keeping us updated and keeping us informed of everything going on with, like for example, last year during the negotiations about when season would start. So I think, I mean, it definitely is important to understand what's going on, but try not to worry about it too much.
All right. So as far as the next couple of months, as you're continuing to prepare, what else is going on for the Edmonds? How are you guys enjoying the next few months. Again, understanding that it's a little bit different. It'll be a little bit of a different holiday season. But what are you looking forward to? How are you guys going to spend your time when you're not, you know, driving across the country doing super impressive outdoorsy stuff?
Well, not too much, honestly. We don't have any big trips planned, mainly because we can't make any big trips right now. So, but we've gotten settled in San Diego. We're staying at a place that's less than a mile from the beach. So we've been going down to the beach almost every day, watching a lot of sunsets, going for some walks. I actually, my first few days of throwing last week were on the beach. So it's a pretty nice, pretty nice workout area to be at. And so I'm assuming it'll just be a lot more of that over the next couple months, just getting ready for spring training.
Yeah, I'm up in Chicago. My parents live about 4 or 5 blocks from the beach from Lake Michigan. But I have a feeling if I went down there and snapped a couple of photos, it would look much different than your photos of the beach. It would look like the apocalypse here, dark, nasty, cold, and probably no one getting a throw-in program in on the shores of Lake Michigan in Chicago right now.
Yeah, it might be a little bit different. I think it's tough to throw in 25-degree weather versus 75-degree weather out here.
Are you a surfer? Are you nautically inclined at all? Any water sports, water activities that you are good at?
No, not really. I never really got into surfing. I have a bunch of friends that are that got into surfing even more so now that they have more time on their hands with COVID. But I was never able to get into it. I also don't have a wetsuit, and the water is about 62 degrees right now, which is,
yeah, sounds terrible. Freezing.
Yeah, so you have to have a wetsuit. And I was thinking about it. I went on some websites and was looking at some wetsuits to get, but
pull the trigger, man.
Pretty much everything is sold out. Everything's sold out right now. Yeah, if you go on like the O'Neill website, there's no wetsuits available.
Well, the reason I ask is because I was talking with Dan last week. We were doing a draft of skills we wish we had or things we wish we could do, and superpowers were off the table. So he had the first pick. His was play the guitar.
Okay.
My first pick was speak another language, Spanish, fluently. And we each picked 5 skills. What would your thing be if you could acquire instantly any skill or learn to do something and be an instant expert at it? What would your number one pick be? Because surfing would be a pretty damn cool thing. Like, especially if you're a Midwest guy like me, it's just like one of the ultimate, like if you can surf, like, It's just a bro move.
Yeah, for sure. And being in San Diego, I'd be able to take advantage of it more than most people.
Surfing. No one ever doesn't look cool surfing.
Yeah, for sure. I would definitely want to do something that I'd be able to do for a long time. And I'll see like probably 65-year-old guys out there surfing. So that's something you can do for a while. I think golf would be another good one too. I just started playing more golf this year, and I'm still horrible, but if I was able to get pretty good at it, then I could, that's something that I could do for the next, 60 years.
Yeah. I said slam dunk a basketball just cause like you could impress your kids forever if you can just throw down a dunk. Give me one.
That's a good one too.
Yeah. That would just be awesome. Can you do that?
No, I feel like I could, if I could palm a basketball, but my hands are too small.
I can't jump at all.
I can dunk a tennis ball, but I can't dunk a basketball.
This was a couple of years ago. Flaherty and I started the players versus pitchers basketball game debate, and who would win, the position players or the pitchers. And you guys have some hoopers on your team. Give me a non-sports one, though. Dan said cook. I said I'd love to be able to correctly iron clothing because that's impossible. And give me maybe one non-sports skill or hobby that you would love to acquire.
Cooking. Dan's taking all the good ones.
You can take
one.
You're
able to cook. You just got gourmet meals every day. Like that. I don't think it gets much better than that.
Do you cook at all?
No, not really. My wife's a really good cook. But so I guess I don't need to since she's so good.
All right. So you need a non-sports something.
Let me think. I think it'd be, I wish I was a good dancer for sure. Like,
oh, Dan, just dancing.
Like, not like, I mean, like you remember last year, a couple of years ago, when we had the conga line in the dugout after home runs.
Yes.
And you'd see Cafe and Oso doing the, getting their moves on. I don't have any of those moves. So I wish I could.
The Latin guys do like the little, the move where, and I'm doing it right now, like you kind of put your hands up like in fists, almost like you're going to box, but then you kind of just start like shaking your shoulders.
Yeah. It's on the hips, I guess.
You know that move?
Yeah.
And just make it look really cool.
Yeah. I try that and it doesn't look nearly as cool. So I wish I was better at that.
All right. So dancing.
Yeah.
So start working on your moves. Hey, man. Appreciate it. I know that, again, it's been a crazy off season, but congratulations on a heck of a year. And I guess more importantly, a unforgettable year. First year of marriage with your wife. You guys will hopefully never have anything like the last 12 months again.
And
I know regardless of the craziness, fans cannot wait to see you guys back out on the field. And I echo that. So appreciate the time, brother. As always, enjoy sunny San Diego. And I'll send you some pictures from the beach if it's open and if it's able to be accessed here in the 20-degree weather and snow in Chicago.
All right. I appreciate it, Raby. Great talking as always.
All right, brother. We'll talk soon.
All right. See you later.